Welcome to the Living Your Best Life podcast, where we delve into the meaning of living your best life and provide practical insights on how to achieve that. Join me, Sam Wild, life coach, mentor, and guide, committed to helping you reach your full potential and living your best life. As you prepare to listen, take a moment to center yourself. Take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and clear your mind. Let's begin. Okay. So welcome, David. I've actually referred to you as King David, because that's going to be a huge part of the conversation. The topic, well, with this, the whole theme of these conversations is conversations with clients. That's what I've called it. Mm-hmm. Clients, friends, people of transformation, leaders, however you want to look at it. For me, it's conversations with clients. And the whole point of sharing with David just before we started this conversation, the whole point of this for me came from the idea, which is so much of what we're going to touch on today. So it came from the idea of when I listened to my inner sovereignty, when I slowed down to hear what the king in me is calling me to create, it was serve. So part of me doing that is having these conversations with people who working with, worked with, and possibly working with, to have these powerful conversations that get into the core of what it means to change your life, to transform, what that takes, and to bring different aspects of that. And you, David, you bring a really beautiful and different angle on that. And I'm going to shut up in a minute and hand over to you. And one of the things I want to just share about you and my experience of you is that you're somebody who is so deeply committed to what it is that they're doing and creating. Although it appears like you've questioned it, you've never faltered from that path since I've known you. It's like you're somebody that's like, I'm here. And look, the other piece to that, and this is what I think, what I really want to draw people's attention to, is that you get what you come for, right? And even in our coaching conversations, you're like, yeah, not quite there yet. No, not quite there. I want to go a bit deeper. And it's like that, for me, that level of commitment and alignment to what it is that we want to create has you move powerfully towards what you want. And I really want to bring you in so people can experience that, because I think it's so important. So, David.
What a lovely way to be created. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome, man. I sat with that. I was like, I've got to be truthful here. I don't just want to make stuff up. It was like, I want this to be really truthful. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you this question twice, and I want you to ask the second question. So David, who are you? Who are you?
My recent experience with the archetypes work that I'm doing, the conversations that you and I are having around kingship, has been to drop into something that feels much deeper than I've felt before. In some spiritual practices, they talk about being at the ground of your being, or speaking from the ground of your being. I don't know if I've got that deep yet, but it certainly feels a lot deeper than anything before. And maybe that's where I'm at sometimes. But when I am there, I have a very deep sense of that, what I call sovereignty rather than kingship, but I call it sovereignty, where I'm fully taking ownership, responsibility, and leadership for creating myself and my world. And there's so much love in all of that, within myself, for myself, from out there. And also that there's simply love out there that's universal and not directed at me specifically, but I can feel the benefit of that. And then the other part of that that I think expresses who I am is this sense that comes with sovereignty of wholeness, that I am and we are all whole. There is nothing that needs to be different. There is nothing that needs to change. And in order to really live through that wholeness, we need to do the work where we turn and face some of that stuff that we might judge as inappropriate or not good enough or wrong or whatever. And so the work that you and I have been doing and I've been doing for the last few years has been really looking at that stuff that in psychology they refer to it as shadow. But it's really just, for me, it's just stuff I don't want to look at. And having the courage to look at that stuff and really accept it and love myself for it because it's part of who I am. And I want to walk through life being present to my clients, present to my partner, present to everyone that I share my life with. And I can only really do that if I fully accept myself for who I am.
I love that I've asked you who you are. You know, sometimes when I say to people, who are you, they describe what they do. And I love that you've really gone in and answered that question of who you are as a being. It cuts straight to my experience of you for sure. And you also touched on something very important, I think, David, around like the words I wrote down were ownership, honesty, and realness. Mm-hmm. You're so willing to take responsibility and ownership for your experience. Mm-hmm. Like, and inquire and go in and look. And I know you've said it's like, I don't want to. But has that changed? Because I think it seems to me like you are so willing and you do want to.
Oh, I spent years not being willing to do that and dressing it up as I don't know, bravery or courage or not thinking negatively or pushing through or all of that BS. I didn't think it was BS at the time, but I look at it now and I go, oh. But I think the direction that I was moving in when I first joined your coaching school, the school that you were running with Lisa, where I started moving to was to this thing of, okay, really starting to look at some of that stuff and starting to question some of that stuff. And when the two of you invited me into a coaching relationship, the kind of the work that I did to be ready for that was really... like there was a lot of resistance to fear, a lot of resistance to judgment, a lot of resistance to all of that stuff that I wasn't prepared to look at. And I had this moment where it's like, okay, I'm actually going to stop resisting. And I remember, and it felt like being in a sand timer. You know, where you've got the sand dropping through, and I was in the top bit, desperately scrambling not to fall through the gap. That was my resistance thing. And I had this moment where it's like, okay, I'm just gonna let go. And I felt myself fall through this thing. And I dropped down on the bottom and I felt, okay, well, this isn't so bad. Actually, it feels quite nice, like letting go of all of that effort and being tired all the time. And then as part of that process, kind of in my, and this is all in my imagination, but I had this moment where from out of the shadows came this massive monster who I had no weapons to fight it, no no skills to be able to prevent it from eating me, and it just swallowed me whole. And I found myself in the belly of the beast, which is what I call this coaching thing that I'm doing with you and Lisa right now for a year. And the feeling of it is that all of this stuff, that all of this darkness, all of this stuff that I don't want to look to, that's going to be the stuff that gets digested away. That's going to be the stuff that I'm going to look at. That's the stuff I'm going to integrate. That's the stuff I'm going to understand and I'm going to let go of. And something new is going to pass out through the other side of this beast. And whatever comes out that other side, that's going to be the new version of myself that walks forward from there. And I have no idea what that's going to look like yet. But I know that I'm doing that work and I can feel the benefit that it has on me, in me, with my clients and with all the people that I share my life with. It's fantastic work. And I used to believe that it would be really painful work. It would be really difficult work. And it's not as difficult as I thought it would be. It's not as challenging as I thought it would be, which is interesting. But the reality is, you know, if you feel that calling of knowing that there's work to be done, then give into the resistance and just soften into it and let that journey unfold.
Yeah. What you've pointed to is a really important distinction. I'm so glad you have, David. This will resonate with people in this group and who listen wider, right? Around, you said something along the lines of the resistance. I gave up the resistance to fear and judgment. And what's really interesting about that is you didn't say, I didn't want to feel fear or judgment. I didn't want those things. I gave up the resistance to them. So there was almost like, I remember that happening actually. And I remember that for me as well. There was a point of which we see that judgment and fear isn't something to exclude from our experience, it's something to include into our experience and inquire into and go into and understand. And I think we often don't get off the ground because we're not willing to feel fear, we're not willing to feel the judgment in those experiences. So I think you've touched on that beautifully. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that beautifully summarizes my experience of it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. So you touched on archetypes, and I know for me, you're much more experienced in it than me, but I had this experience of archetypal work, which has been really helpful in, this might not make any sense, but like the depersonalization of myself, mm-hmm. going full circle back to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love for you to kind of introduce people listening or watching this to what archetypal work is for you, what mm-hmm. it means and what it is. And have them have an understanding of it.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you for that opportunity, because I really do love this work. And I appreciate it isn't for everybody, but I personally do have a real inclination towards imagination and seeing things in my mind's eye, working with metaphor, and also working with the body. And that'll all make sense in a minute. So I've been drawn to archetypes because I've always had this, I've always wanted to know how things work, not machines, not, you know, cars. I'm not the kind of guy that looks under a bonnet, or I might look under a bonnet and go, I think I'll call the RAC. That's as far as it'll go. But much more about, you know, how the universe works, how people's minds work, how do people work, what makes people tick, what makes relationships tick. That's the question that I've been asking for as long back as I can remember. And I sought the answers in religion. That didn't work. I sought the answers in science. That was sort of quite helpful, but it didn't really give me very many. There were too many unanswered questions in that. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of stumbled upon spirituality in its really, really broadest sense. So you know, kind of indigenous cultures and spirituality and martial arts and also spirituality that comes from things like quantum physics and understanding how energy works and vibration and all of this sort of stuff. It was just really, really fascinated me. And where that's kind of got me to is to this place where it got me to this place where I started being really interested in people like Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell, these people that introduced the idea of archetypes and the hero's journey. And there was something about all of that, that storytelling, that psychology, that imagination that really, really resonated with me. And what I love about what you said about that depersonalizing is that when you have archetypes are universal themes. So the idea of an archetype is that it appears, you'll see it appear across cultures and throughout time in their stories, in their rituals, in their traditions, in their culture. So you've got things like the king and the queen, you've got things like the magician, the warrior, they appear universally. And what I've kind of explored is that I can tap into that through my body, simply by arranging my body, moving my body in a certain way. I can touch into that king archetype. I can touch into that warrior archetype. And as a person who's done martial arts for 30 years, touching into that warrior archetype is, I can do that instantly. But also to touch into the magician archetype and the lover archetype, they're the four archetypes that I work with. And it's just been transformational because it allows me to tap into something that even if there's a part of me that believes that I can't access it within myself, I know that I can access it out there. And if I can access it out there, then I have it in here, in that kind of sort of weird way that these sorts of things work. So it's kind of resourced me and it's expanded me in a way that I never really imagined, which has just been absolutely wonderful. And then beginning to share that with people in the workshops that I do with my business partner, Thea Allison, you know, we're finding ways of being able to access that stuff really, really quickly for people so that it allows them to be. So it's about who you're being, you know, to be that sovereign in your life, to be that warrior who protects you and creates safe spaces for you and make sure that, you know, you're going to be protected, that you're boundaried. You know, the magician in you to be creative, to be imaginative, to allow yourself to be transformed. You know, it's all just so, so exciting, right? And so when you actually start looking at this stuff, you know, there are thousands of stories that go back 10,000 years to the present day are full of these archetypes. And the reason we love these stories is because we resonate with them in this very personal way, but they speak in a universal message that allows people to hear what it, like, you've got a great question, you know, when you're coaching people, you know, you'll share something and you'll ask them, what are you hearing in that for you? Mm. Right. And so these stories, these myths that are created, they're always asking that question. What are you hearing in this for you? And that's the universal nature that becomes really personal. Does that answer your question?
I've no idea. I forgot what the question was, but I love the answer. It was phenomenal. Yes, it was. I think it was an invitation into kind of just your explanation or your experience of archetypes. And I think it's so, the reason I love how you've described it, David, is because I can tell, and I think everyone else will. By the way, if anyone has any questions for David whilst we're live, do ask or afterwards, and we'll come to that. Connecting with you later, David. You can tell that you're in the work yourself. As you're speaking, it's like you can tell that you're in this work. There's a real sense of I am this.
Yeah.
And I love what you shared because it sounded like what you were saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the archetypes exist, however, whether we like it or not, right? These archetypes, whether you understand them or not, they exist. And we can slow down and look, right? It's like they show up in our life. There are times to fight and to not fight, to love, to hold back, to stand up, to sit down. There are like these times where these things occur. And what I'm hearing from you is when we have an understanding of what they are and who we are, we can learn to really create with them.
Yes.
And I love that invitation, because that's the kind of the piece where it's depersonalized and we can slow down and listen and then create with.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And that every person will have a sovereign archetype, and yet what yours looks like looks and feels different to what mine will feel like, and you know, to someone else, and they'll want to call it different things, you know. So, you know, Galadriel and the Queen, and Xena, warrior princess, you know, I mean, I've heard all of them, you know. Gypsies, beggars, it's all there. And I don't have any attachment to what they're called, but there's an energy to them and an expression of them that for me is, that's the bit that's really, really important.
Yeah, definitely. And my experience with you, I'll share something actually. My experience with you, David, is that you're very good at taking a concept and giving it context. And what I mean by that is, so you'll see behind me, for those that haven't got a camera, my coach, who I'm in the King's Circle with, as you know, sent me some sage sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And kings and queens used, we're in the pragma called the Circle of the Kings, and kings and queens used to burn this in their presence, right? And I'd love to hear what your experience of this is, or your opinion of this is, which is why I'm asking, like, in the having of these things, and he's all for like putting on a robe and drinking from a goblet and like doing anything that you can to embody the king, or we'll just use the king because it's present, right? A king archetype.
Yeah.
And that allows then a concept of who the king is to then become context. So it becomes a felt experience of, oh, this actually feels different.
Yes.
Like, wow, burning of this and having this present actually creates this idea of, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd love to hear like your experience of how to, so for people listening, right, for me, because I'm really curious, how do we embody, and you've touched on it, how would we begin to embody the archetypes?
I just want to say something about the context piece before I do that.
Please.
Which is the tradition of ritual. Yeah. And I know a lot of people in our modern day look back at like our ancestors and we kind of go, you know, they're primitive and they're this and they're that, and some of it's less complimentary than others. But what they had a real understanding of is an understanding of ritual, and not ritual in the sense that it's done in a kind of rigid, where it's just done without thinking, like a
kind of autonomous.
Like a conveyor belt type thing. There's no feeling to it. It will, you know, not done like that at all, but that it's actually done with real feeling, right? So, and what that does then is it evokes, right? And of course, they would speak about it in terms of, you know, spirits and, you know, and all this sort of thing. But we wouldn't do that in a modern world. We wouldn't do that anymore. But what it does do is it evokes that feeling of my sovereignty in me. Yeah. So if I imagine that I'm wearing a crown, you know, so for those of you that are here standing or sitting, it doesn't really matter. But if you just take a moment to feel your feet on the floor and feel your bum on the seat, and to take a breath in, and then breathe out. And as you breathe out, relax. You might want to sigh and make a bit of a noise so that you can feel your weight dropping down into the seat, down into the ground. And then sit or stand in an upright and dignified way. Let your shoulders relax and your arms sit in your lap or hang down by your side. And then even imagine that you're wearing a crown on your head and a cloak over your shoulders that drops down to the floor and lays back behind you. And for me, even imagining that evokes something in me where I connect to something deeper. And I'm slowing down in the way that I'm talking. I can sort of feel the space between us getting a little bit kind of thicker and a little bit foggier and a bit soupier. And that's presence. That's the presence of Sovereign for me. Is it real? Is it not real? I don't think it matters. What matters is the impact that it has on me and the person that I'm with.
Yeah. Yeah, our own experience gives us what we need to know, right? It's like, I remember a teacher once saying to me, you don't need to know anything other than look to your own experience and it will show you everything you need to know. And I love that because it, what you're saying, what I'm hearing is like, look for yourself. Look to your own experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the sovereignty piece in itself, I think, right?
Yeah, and by all means, you know, listen to what other people have to say about this, that, and the other. But ultimately, it comes, you know, we're all individuals. So it's like, well, what actually works for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember going to a networking event and this guy talking about how to present yourself better at business meetings. And one of the things that he said that really stuck with me was, you know, wear your Superman underpants,
mm-hmm.
You know, men and women, right? But wear that, you know, if it's an important meeting, then wear that special underwear that makes you feel special.
Mm.
You know, do that. No one, you know, you're not going to tell anybody, but it's like, find those things that make you feel like a superstar.
Mm.
If that's what you want to feel, you know, that, you know, and it doesn't matter what it is. It's just about finding what that is for yourself. You know, my experience, my like concern as a younger man was that I had to follow what someone else told me to do. And of course it never worked because I was just blindly following what someone else was telling me to do. And it just doesn't work that way.
Love that. That for me, Dave, what you're touching on is like real, it's not even a secret, but it's the path to happiness.
Mm.
Experiencing living our own truth.
Yeah.
And we are that. We express that out into the world.
Yeah.
That's incredibly healing for the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's so powerful.
So when I coach people with the archetypes, like I think I've said this already, but I'll repeat it because I think it's important, is that, you know, I don't hold strongly to any archetype because it's much more about, well, what is it that you want to create?
Yeah.
You know, and what does that look like and feel like for you?
Yeah, and then where does the archetype come in? You know, because I know for me there's been a part around, like I have this really strong, like magician kind of archetype and very creative. Sometimes in the past I've lacked the fight, or I've given into the fear of dying, right? It's like, well, like we talk about ego death. If I do this, people aren't going to like me and I've got to be liked. And I've really seen through this work, and actually I remember the session you did with us in the school, and you introduced me to the warrior, and that was when I really started to see, oh, hang on a minute, there's a warrior in me, but I'm not listening. I've not learned to embody. And I love what you just shared. It's like embody and then be. Like embody and then be. Yeah. Mm.
And the thing about warrior is all about safety.
Mm.
Creating safety. Mm. So you don't have to reach for safety in someone else or in a relationship or in a place or in a certain thing. You find that way of finding safety within yourself. And it's so freeing because you're like, well, so I can step into the lion's den and it's going to be okay.
Belly of the beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it takes us back to what you said at the very beginning, doesn't it? Around, I don't stop feeling fear, I just stop resisting it.
Yeah.
And that's everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could continue this conversation.
Mm.
We're at time. I'm keeping these the half an hour so people can indulge in them, and you know, we can get people back on. Love for you, David, to just share, just take a moment and just share whatever's on your mind, whatever we've spoken about, whatever we've, you know, considering the people listening.
Mm.
And this is going to be something that continues to serve forever. What do you want to say? What do you want to share? What do you want to offer to anybody who's listening to this from your heart to theirs?
Mm. Well, I think the first thing is, if anybody who's listening is interested in exploring archetypes work, then I'm really, really happy to arrange a call. So I'm sure on your notes there'll be ways to reach out. You'll have ways to reach out to me. So that's
I'll make sure in the blurbs that your anything you want to share will be there, so they can access your Facebook group or your email and Facebook, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. So that's the first thing that I would say. And then the second thing I would say is that this is going to sound really cliche, but there is something about you are where you are on your path. You are where you are on your journey. And that's great. And I remember often giving myself a really hard time because I thought I should be further along the path than I was, or that I got distracted, or that I found it difficult, or that I felt scared. And one of the key moments for me was the moment when I realized, yes, there's all of that, and I'm still on the path. And I just, for anybody and everybody that's listening, you know, if you're listening to this, then you're still on the path. If you're talking with Sam, you're still on the path. If you're asking questions, you're still on the path. If you're confused, you're still on the path. If you're doubting yourself, you are still on the path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're afraid, you're still on the path. You know, there are so many, being on the path looks so many different ways at different times in our lives. And my earnest belief is that everybody stays on the path. Everybody stays on the path. It's just a question of where you are on it. And never lose faith.
Thank you for joining me on the Living Your Best Life podcast. I hope this episode has inspired you to take action towards your goals and your dreams. To learn more about how I can support you on your journey, please visit my website at www.samwildcoaching.com, and that's wild with an E. To connect with me directly, you can get in touch with me at coachme@samwildcoaching.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll see you in the next one.